Hello and welcome to Janet Generally Speaking, the podcast that shares exclusive conversations with women who are making their mark in the world. The podcast shares their unique stories, experiences, and perspectives, giving you insight into their journey and the lessons they have learned. Created and hosted by me, communications professional and business owner, Janet Gerica. Let's chat.
I'm in studio with Yasmin Mimic. As you know, I talk to people who I find inspiring, and Yasmin has been inspiring me for quite some time. We'll get into why, and you'll learn, because from what she tells us and what her life has been and what she's doing at the moment, it will be obvious. But I did go to her LinkedIn profile, which says that she's strongly committed to building a better future for all. It drives her work with her business, which is a project implementation company helping businesses integrate environmental, social, and governance practices alongside financial literacy initiatives. Okay, so that was a mouthful. Hi, Yasmin, how are you?
Hi, Janet. Thank you for having me. Good to know that I inspire you. Very flattering.
No, you do. Can you, just for context, give me a elevator rundown kind of couple of seconds worth of Five Inc., because that's kind of how you earn a living.
Sure. Five Inc. is a project management company, very focused on social sustainability. So BEE transformation, environmental, social governance reporting, sustainability reporting with a focus, special focus on social sustainability. So we try to uplift people who are in poor communities. We help them to earn an income, gain financial knowledge to help them make better decisions, but everything focused around upliftment and transformation.
So that brings me to, what are you passionate about?
Oh, my goodness. I'm passionate about a lot. But I'm passionate about people, and I'm passionate about the rights of people. So in terms of my work, in terms of environmental, it's focused, it looks a lot at environmental justice. Mm. And BEE is a lot about social upliftment, as I said. And so it's about people having a fair shot in life. That is something that I'm utterly committed to in every aspect.
Yeah, of your life.
Of my life, of my work, of my belief system, everything.
And you grew up, like me, in the apartheid era to a large degree. I know I'm a couple of years older, but and we're vastly different. We lived in different communities. But you had a father and a mentor who I would imagine helped to inspire what you believe in today. Tell us about your father first as an inspiration for activism.
So yes, I grew up in an Indian community in Joburg, in Pageview, which when I was about 11 or 12 was subject to Group Areas Act enforcement, and the Indian people were taken out of Pageview and moved to Lanesia. So that was a very, very big factor in seeing exactly how apartheid South Africa worked. And it was given to white people who worked on the railways. My father had grown up unbelievably underprivileged as a result of apartheid at a time when there were no opportunities for Indian people, any black people, you know, in terms of bursaries, in terms of being able to go to university or work opportunities or that sort of thing. And that influenced my father to a large degree, but more than that, my uncle. So my father's brother, my father was a mini activist, a micro activist, as they say. So helped distribute pamphlets and that kind of thing. But my uncle was a fully fledged member of the ANC. He had also been to the UK and he had studied in the UK. And while he was there, he was exposed to the Thatcher years. So all of that injustice and all of that. But he became a committed socialist while he was in the UK. And he came back to South Africa in 1977. And it was at a time where we were Indian people living in a small town. You certainly didn't hear about communism because, I mean, Roy Gevaar and all of that in South Africa. And also in the Indian community where life was about survival, really.
Yeah.
And so between the two of them, it was my uncle who inspired a deep commitment to socialism, not communism, you know, which was the perversion of socialism, but the ideal of equality for all. And my father, who inspired critical thinking, he would never let me take anything at face value. I remember having a conversation with him. I think I was in high school, and there were some mine workers who had died in a shaft. And I was upset about it. And he said, well, what are you so upset about? It? This happens around. And I remember crying bitterly because how can you oppose me on this? And his motivation was to say, don't take things at face value. You know, that you always have to absolutely criticize everything that you hear and analyze everything that you hear. I was also really privileged in that my father put me in a school which was extremely forward thinking at the time. My uncle coincidentally taught history there. So it was a school that was established to be non-racist at a time when people were talking about multiracial. It was non-racist. It was only staffed by the very, very best minds and people who were committed to non-racism as well. And at school, it was the same message. You need to be analytical in your thinking. You have to not accept anything the government tells you. You have to be an activist for change. And so my family, and through my family, my school had a huge influence on what I believed, what I learned, and what I believe today, the person that I am today. Yes.
And that's a lot of who you are today, and what has inspired you and brought you to now is what inspires me. I mean, we've had conversations where, you know, you've enlightened me, you've taught me, you've shown me a way, which is very different from my sort of 1960s, 70s, you know, upbringing, where the Rooi Gevaar was very real and you didn't know any person who was of a different color than you, whether that was Indian or black, even although a lot of my upbringing was in Durban, so bizarre. But all of this brought you to your business as well, because I can't imagine you doing anything else. Yes. So when did you start Five Inc?
So I started in 2018. Weirdly enough, I had wanted to be a lawyer. I went to Wits in the 1980s to study law.
I can see you being a lawyer.
You know, I had had career guidance, and absolutely everybody said a lawyer was, and, you know, I was from an Indian family and with a huge emphasis on academic qualifications. So I came out of university and said to my dad, I want to be an interior designer. And he said, no chance, no chance. You have to be able. And this was because of his background and the whole background around apartheid, is that you have to have a qualification that allows you to earn a decent salary. Mm. You also need to have a qualification that means that nobody's going to oppress you ever again. To be honest, I can't see anybody oppressing me, but there you go.
No.
So my focus at Varsity was human rights law, but it almost broke me. Firstly, I was a really bad student. That had an impact. But human rights law and hearing all the stories about what white people were doing to black people in South Africa and elsewhere in the world was just, I couldn't imagine doing it. Environmental was something that was there, but not fully developed until I went to the UK, and there was a big push around recycling and climate change and climate crisis and all of that. And so I actually got a degree in environmental management and then came back, and my degree had been in the UK and I didn't want to study again. And my sister at the time had a BE training company, so I joined her. And then through BEE and through socioeconomic development, found a way to incorporate the environmental. Mm. And that's what happened with Five Inc. Once my sister moved on and we didn't do the training anymore, I started Five Inc. in 2018, primarily to do – so coincidentally, while I was starting Five Inc., I became aware of huge amounts of corporate waste material that was just being sent to landfill. And some people who were doing community programs, teaching people to make things out of the corporate waste. And so I started Five Inc. just to do upcycling, and then found that actually I do have a training consultant heart, and focused away from pure implementation to corporate training and corporate awareness initiatives. And so 5 Inc. is consulting, but I also have a little corporate gifting business, which then brings in the unemployment and the making and so on. So it's a journey of, you know, as I find my passion and how to align all of them, that gets drawn into my business, for better or worse.
And challenges, I mean, if you started in 2018, we went through COVID and, you know, trying to recover from that when working from home. Did you find that you had to, as the good old COVID word says, pivot?
No, I actually was incredibly fortunate. I thought I should pivot, but that's because everybody was doing it. And I think I had FOMO. I actually ended up going back to my consultant roots. And I was lucky in that I had retainer contracts.
Okay.
And so I just continued with my contracts. And I work from home anyway. Our projects happen all around the country. And so the only thing really that was impacted during 2020 was that I couldn't travel to our project sites. But the minute we were allowed to travel, I did, and promptly caught COVID. So there was a lesson in that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone escaped.
No. But no, I was really lucky. I didn't have to pivot, even though I did. Escaped pretty much unscathed, I think.
And obviously, there are challenges. Anybody going into business or a solopreneur, entrepreneur, there's challenges all the time. Have you had any specific challenges that you can share with us?
Yes. So I am in BEE. It's a very crowded space in terms of consultants. So there's a lot of competition around that, and you almost need to have an in with a corporate client before you get the job. There is enterprise and socioeconomic development are very much the person in the company who has a passion project who wants to support that. And so it hasn't so much been because I'm a solopreneur as the fact that you need to have the connections. And to be honest, the big contacts that I have at the moment, I have because I've been exposed to people within the corporate. So it's the challenge that everybody complains about in terms of BEE, but in terms of South African business in general, is that unless you know somebody, it's enormously hard to get your foot in the door.
Personal referrals are always the one that wins.
Yeah.
Advice for women going into business or in business that any. I mean, I think everybody has their own sort of piece of advice. What's yours?
So mine is do it. I think women are very scared. Mm. We juggle a lot. There is also, of course, the material consideration. But I think in South Africa at the moment, considerations whether you're working or you aren't, or you have your own business are the same. So if you really want to do it, do it. And I think for women, we get bogged down in the detail, is that my colors in my logo have to be absolutely amazing, and my website, and you get down to it. I had a very good business mentor in somebody who runs a big ED agency. He's a friend of mine, and he said, if you don't have customers, you don't have a business. So it doesn't matter how good your logo is and all the fine details and your branding and all of that.
That's so true.
You will not have a business. And so for me, it's do a little bit of market research. And I'm saying this even though I do absolutely zero of that. When I have an idea, I jump on the bandwagon and think the world is waiting for me.
And build the parachute.
Yeah, absolutely. Do a bit of market research in terms of the viability of your idea. And then do it because we need entrepreneurs in this country. I tend not to distinguish between men and women. I think they have equal value in terms of entrepreneurship and bring different strengths to their businesses. Women, though, tend to get intimidated by male entrepreneurs, by societal expectations, by family needs, and then think, okay, well, you know, I need to be secure. There is no such thing as security. And if not now, then when?
Yeah, I like that. Pivoting a little bit. You've spoken about your passion. What inspires you?
People doing things. Action inspires me. So the people that I would admire most in my life are people who get things done. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter in what sphere. I know amazing people who do amazing charitable initiatives, people in business, activists, which is a big part of who I am. So I tend to look up to activists, but really anybody who gets things done. And so the action part is, you know, I do have a lot of FOMO.
Yeah.
And when I see people doing things, I want to do things too.
who would you have breakfast, lunch, or dinner with?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apart from me, obviously.
So my son is really into Stoicism at the moment and talks about Marcus Aurelius till the cows come home.
Okay.
So I think him, because I've been
Adam or Marcus Aurelius?
Well, both, actually. Adam, of course, because he would debate. But Marcus Aurelius, because there was a lot of universal truth in the things that he said. My father, my uncle who's since passed, because I think that would be great debate. I think Karl Marx, actually, just because he had some truths, but how did it all get perverted? Because what was in there that was open to perversion?
Yeah, but I think the perversion came from humans and you know, their own misunderstanding of the ideology.
Sure, of course, and the need for power and so on, but something within the ideology that was open to perversion.
Mm.
So him. And then a few people that I would like to have just because I would really like to bash them around the head. But that's, you know, so for, inspiring.
America.
Them, all of them. Yeah, all of a lot of this world. Yeah, I think I can't think of anybody else, to be honest.
That's a lot of lunches that's or breakfasts or dinners. What do you do for fun?
Fun. What's that? What do I do for fun? I hang out with friends.
Yeah.
I do a lot of that.
You do.
Far too and much of that. I read books.
Books. Play fiction games. Or nonfiction?
Both. I love historical novels. So anything, the creation of a country, the those kind of historical, history of the Vikings, that sort of thing. And I read a lot of trash, unfortunately. I love fantasy, but I read any kind of trash when I'm in the mood and don't want to think. Basically, give me something to read, and I read it. I just don't care about celebrities, so I'll never read an autobiography.
Do you have a daily mantra?
No. If I did, it would be get moving. That's my thing for this year, is that I've had a lot of trouble moving, getting moving. But that would be my mantra. Although,
exercise no. Or?
Just doing.
Yeah. Okay.
Getting stuff done.
And when the tough gets going, what do?
Hide under my duvet.
Yeah,
I really do.
That's kind of what I would want to do as well.
I prefer to sleep. No, when things are tough is when I get really motivated to do things. I'm a very solutions-oriented person, and I refuse to believe that anything is insurmountable, that there's always a solution. And so, yeah, I tend to find solutions.
But do you have a best success in your career or your life?
My son. And I mean, that's such a cliche, but really my son is everything, the product of everything that I was brought up with.
Yeah.
And my beliefs and my practices and my values, he embodies those.
Yeah.
And so for me, the thing was, yes, I've passed it on. Good or bad, I don't know, but I have passed it on. And a lot of what I hold very dear. So does he. And so for me, that is, it's the product of generations of belief before me.
Yes.
And people who have implemented, you know, like going to the school, somebody started it, somebody had the ideology. So all of those generations of ideology, which were embodied in me and embodied in him. And I hope that that makes, you know, a difference in this world. And so, yeah, undoubtedly my best success.
That's amazing. How do you see failure?
I don't. So I live in my own little bubble in my head. I mean, I know I failed at lots of things, business and, you know,
but
initiatives.
But isn't it a learning experience?
Yes. Yeah. So my thing is, if you don't fail, you haven't lived.
Yeah.
If you don't try, you don't fail. And if you don't fail, you haven't lived. So
well, there's
I'm
a
happy.
Mantra. Not for, yeah, yeah, the, yeah, not sure. For the morning.
It is. I say that to my cousin all the time, who is really scared of failure. I don't see failure. I have, luckily, the personality that allows me to really fall flat on my face and just get up and carry on again. So,
which is inspiring.
You know, I get that some people are so intimidated by failing. I generally don't care what anybody else thinks. Genuinely don't.
Yeah.
So if you think I failed, great. You know, I just carry on doing my own stuff. And that is also that I inhabit my own planet. And everything is happy on my planet and successful on my planet.
What gets you to sleep at night?
Knowing that I've done something that day. So if I feel that I have actually achieved something, no matter how little it is, I'm happy. And I sleep very well when I'm happy. But to be honest, I sleep very well generally. But just knowing, and also that I've held on to my beliefs, you know, that I have practiced my beliefs during the day. And I'm not talking about airy fairy, you know, metaphysical things, but
no,
just in terms of, did I help somebody today?
Yeah.
You know, did I have a positive impact on something today? Those things make me happy.
And what makes you come alive?
Being around inspiring people. So I love talking. I love talking. And I love talking to people who have something to say. So I'm not somebody for chat that gets on my nerves intensely. But somebody who really has something because they've achieved something, they've learned something, they believe in something. And I love healthy debate. That makes me come alive.
Yeah. And walking away with something new, and for me, that's having that conversation and learning something that I didn't think about or hadn't considered, or
sometimes my son says I'm incredibly bossy and opinionated. In fact, my whole family say I'm the most opinionated person they know. And I mean, literally, this is everybody in my family say that. So I don't know if it's about learning something from somebody else, which just having the debate makes me happy. Hopefully they've learned something from me. That's my goal.
But I think, you know, knowing you as I do, you know, I mean, what inspires me as well is your commitment to your activism. I don't know if that's the right word, but your commitment to what you believe, you know, that from a humanitarian perspective, you know, looking at the world as it stands at the moment and saying, no, I'm not buying Coca-Cola, for example. I mean, how will you measure your life?
By how many things I've done, so how many businesses I've started, how many, you know, activities I've joined, how many causes I've believed in, and whether I've stayed true to those causes. Yeah, for me, it would be, have I stayed true to what I believed? I think I'm doing well so far. And have I had an impact on this world? So I have a very strong sense of we are not on this earth to be consumers, you know. So we're not here to be working and consuming and then landfilling. We are here to have a purpose. And my purpose is to leave, for me, my purpose is to leave the world a better place than it was when I came into it. So whether it's, you know, I've inspired some people, I've made some people happy, I've recycled some products, consumed less, whatever the case may be. That would be the end for me, is that I've achieved my purpose. I've remained true to my purpose and then achieved it.
Nice. Now we're going to have some fun.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you questions and I just need a word or two. So what's your star sign?
Libra.
Chocolate or chips?
Oh, God, both.
Do you have any tattoos?
No.
What's the name of your school?
St. Barnabas.
Tea or coffee?
Both.
Cook or eat out?
Ooh, eat out anytime.
Best part of your day?
Sleeping. The action-oriented person says.
First thing you think about in the morning?
What do I have to do today?
Creative morning or night?
A night.
Your favorite writer?
My favorite. I don't think I have one.
Yeah, I'm like that as well. Everyone. Yeah. What makes you nervous?
Nothing. I can't think of anything.
Favorite getaway?
Is this a spin on the beach or mountain?
No, question? No.
Favorite place?
No, generally like... I suppose.
Yeah, a city with museums and ooh, culture.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. How do you feel about social media?
Invaluable tool.
What's in your bag that you can't live without?
My credit card.
If you could switch lives with anyone, who would it be?
Nobody.
What song are you currently dancing to?
Snoop Dogg. I've reinvented Snoop Dogg because he's everywhere at the Olympics. I've rediscovered him.
You've rediscovered him. That's amazing. Jasmine, thank you so much for subjecting yourself to my questions. I've loved every minute of it, and I'm sure there are lots of conversations for us in the future still.
Thank you, Janet. I'm sure there's lots of conversations. It was a great privilege being here.
That was the Janet Generally Speaking podcast. Follow for more in the People Who Inspire Me series. All links and details are in the podcast description.